Let's turn to the book of Hebrews, okay? We are looking still at the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Let's stand as we'll be reading a few passages. The children have gone up already. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23 to 29. You're reading, I'll read verse 23, then you read verse 24, and so on until verse 29. Okay, as we look at a wonderful personality God has placed in the Bible for our learning. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23 reads, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment." For 24.
"By faith Moses, when he was come to the earth, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter,
choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." 28.
"Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should
touch him." Verse 29, let's read together. "By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Last week we looked at one of your servants, Abraham, and today we're going to look at one of your servants once again, the man of Moses. We thank you, Lord, for the wonderful things you've done in his life, a period of miracles upon miracles, Lord, through this man who initially ran away, who initially, Lord, refused to do your will, and yet by faith he did so. Father, teach us from this word of God today that our lives may change. Father, we may not be as spiritual as Moses, but I believe it is your will, Lord, to make us spiritual men and women for Christ. So, Lord, we ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us through your word in a special way. Bless the chapel as well for the children. And may both parents and children and everyone who is here, Lord, receive, Father, faith from the hearing of your word. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. For the last 2 weeks, we looked at the book, The Man of Abraham, in two parts, two great trials in his life. We saw great experiences in his life, the birth of a son at the age of 100. And of course, then last week was the sacrifice of Isaac at Mount Moriah. Last week we saw. And then I was thinking to myself, Lord, should I just continue on? No, because you actually have, some of you may say, Pastor Johnny, what about Isaac and Jacob, you know, in between? And if you look at verse 20 in Hebrews chapter 11, "By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come." And I was thinking through it, there are actually other lessons within the account, so I didn't want to do that, because basically by faith Isaac foretold the future of Jacob and Esau, all right, in that particular verse. And then in verse 21, "By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph." Who are the two sons of Joseph? Manasseh and Ephraim, right? And worship leaning upon the top of his staff. And this was again by faith, looking in the future. There's actually other, there are actually other lessons which probably will reserve for another day. But we're going to go straight, because this is a faith of the faith, the walk of faith series, looking at faith as a whole. So today we just jump straight to Moses. And we're going to look at Moses and the wonderful testimony he brings to us when he's living out his faith and trusting God, and what God did that were wonderful in his life, and the tremendous lessons for us. The king at that time of Moses did not know who Moses was and who Joseph was. Okay, if you know a little bit of history, from the time when Joseph and all the family, about 70 souls, went into Egypt to escape the famine. Okay, the king, the Pharaoh, allowed them to live, but then the king died, and then there arose another king who knew not Joseph, and nation of Israel was then put into bondage, and for 400 years, the nation of Israel was under bondage under this king. Not for 400 years, but under the kings of Pharaoh, the Pharaoh. And God actually heard the cries of his people, and the Bible says God came down to save them. Look at Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, right? Some of you will have that. Is it in there? Is it printed out? Exodus chapter 3. Yes, is it printed? Okay, we can read there. Just want to let you know, and hopefully this is a side. Hopefully it's an encouragement to us. I just want to read, and then I'll just make some comments about this that God wants us to know. The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry, by reason of their taskmaster, for I know their sorrows. Now I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of the land into a good land and a large, the land flowing in milk and honey, and unto a place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Come now therefore, verse 10, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Now this can be a whole message in itself, but I just want to touch on a few things. For you who are discouraged, who you have affliction in your life, God says, I've surely seen the affliction of my people. God is always touched when His people go through the affliction. God sees. Amen? We have a God who knows, not only knows what you go through, He also knows how you feel when you go through. Because in Hebrews 4, God is not... We have a high priest that is touched by the feeling of our infirmity. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13 tells us, God knows exactly what you go through. And guess what? He says, I'm come down to deliver my people. God says, I am come down to deliver my people. Make no mistake. Moses was an instrument. God was a deliverer. Amen? Moses was an instrument. God was the deliverer. He did all the things. Moses just had to follow His instructions. Okay, I just want to highlight that for an encouragement to someone who may need that. This was God's plan in the life of Moses, is it not? It was God's plan to use Moses to free the children of Israel from the Egyptians after 400 years of bondage. That Moses was going to be the great deliverer of the children of Israel. As with Abraham, when God called Abraham out because of His great plan to start a nation, to bring the Lord Jesus into the world, God was working in the life of humble parents when Moses was born. God was working in the life of humble parents when Moses was born. Question for you, what are the names of the parents of Moses? Those in the Yishun DG, you're not supposed to say. Okay, who are the parents of Moses? What are their names? Our sister is Miriam, yes. Okay, looking at the Bible, Numbers chapter 26, verse 59, alright, is actually written down there. To be honest, when it was first asked a few years ago, when I heard this message, like, okay, I'm actually not too sure. Okay, now, let's once and for all, let's get our Bible knowledge straight. Okay, Numbers 26, verse 59, let's read together. Ready? One, two, go. And the name of Amram's wife was Jochebed, the daughter of Levi, whom her mother bare to Levi in Egypt, and she bare unto Aaron and Moses, and Miriam their sister. So what are the parents' names? Amram and Jochebed. Okay, so those are Moses' parents. So in the youth, when you have youth camp, all right, who are the parents of Moses? You know it's Amram and Jochebed. In Hebrews 11, verse 23, the Bible says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. When Moses was born to Amram and Jochebed, it was a terrible time. Why was it a terrible time? Because the Pharaoh had ordered every male child to be killed. He refused to, because you see, the nation of Israel was growing and growing and growing, and the Pharaoh, who did not know Joseph, was getting concerned. He said, if all the male child grow up, they can actually form an army and fight us. And so the order was given by Pharaoh, every male child that is born must die. Okay, so you look at Exodus chapter 1:16, and he actually told the midwives, the Israelite midwives, and he said, when ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him, but if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But you know, interestingly, even during this time, there seems to be a faith in the nation of Israel, there was already spreading among the Hebrew people. There was a knowledge of God. So in verse 17, but the midwives feared God, understanding God has not revealed the law to them. It was just passed down from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to Joseph. And they were just verbally transferring the information of the great Yahweh that God is going to set a great nation. Fathers, we are responsible to little children who cannot read to tell them about the great God we have. And this is an important truth. Fathers, we take the lead. That's God's truth. And mothers, we support that effort. Okay? And so, the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded, but saved the men children alive. In other words, these midwives disobeyed the authority because they had a higher authority they had to obey. Okay? Then in Exodus chapter 2, Moses was born. And they did the same thing. The parents who knew this commandment hid Moses for 3 months. I want to give you 6 faith principles from Moses' life and his parents that I hope can apply to us and encourage us. The first one, why did Amram and Jochebed hide Moses? The Bible says in Hebrews 11:23, by faith Moses, when he was born, he was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. Point number one, faith in God sees every child as special. Faith in God, faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Christian parents, we see every child God gave to us as a gift. Amen. Every child, no matter who they are, how they are, what they are like, even physically deformed children, mentally slow children, they are gifts to the children, to the parents. And then faith sees every child as special. And parents, we need to learn this truth. And as we develop this, you'll see why I say that. The word proper, interesting, means handsome. Brother Henry, you think your son is handsome? Why? Why? No, he's your son. Okay. Every parent, see. Yeah. The word, the Bible says here, Amram and Jochebed saw that Moses was a proper child. The word proper simply means a handsome child, good to look upon. All right, good to look upon. In the faith of Jochebed and Amram, we see that even though it was a terrible time for these little children, when Moses was born, they saw by faith that Moses was a proper child, extending beyond that, that God gave them their child, that the God who gave them the child had a special plan for this child. Parents, when you have children, do you see as Christians, God has a special plan for the child you have? Because that's what Moses saw. Or rather, the parents of Moses saw. Faith sees every child as special. God had a plan for Moses, but the parents did not know the plan yet. Yes? Parents didn't know the plan, except that they, by faith, knew that this son was given by God. You see, in the Hebrew culture, the philosophy is, life comes from Yahweh. And every child that is given is special. Okay? During that time, although the Levitical law and all the laws are not given as yet, but because of their relationship with Yahweh, they knew that life comes from Him. And so when the child came, it was life. And it was special. And by faith, they knew that God had a plan for this particular one, but they didn't know how or what. But faith in God knew that they have to honor God in everything they did with the life of this little child. Does that make sense? So which means I have a child. I cannot say, I think I want to do this for my child. Send him here or do. No, he said, God, what do you want me to do with this child? Because I want to do it by faith. By faith in God, knew that they had to honor God, and Amram and Jochebed, by faith, hid Moses from the king. It was the authority's instruction, kill your male son. The faith of Jochebed and Amram says, no. God first. Life is from God. I'm not just going to kill my son because a man said so. God gave me this life. And which parents will kill your child? But you know what? It was more than a personal love for the child. The Bible says by faith. It was by faith in God that they hid the child. In verse 23, the second part, they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Now this is interesting because as they look at the child by faith, they hid the child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. In other words, if you disobey the king can kill you. But I say, I'm not afraid of you. Not afraid of what the king says. Not afraid of what this world tries to do to my children. You see the application? They were not afraid of the king. The king represents the king of Egypt. And in the Bible, we know Egypt is always a picture of the world. And the god of this world is Satan himself. The king's commandment is, bow and worship me, bow and worship the riches, bow and worship your career, bow and worship everything else except Yahweh. But Joshua and Amram says, no way, I'm going to worship God first. I'm going to save my son. I'm not afraid of you. By faith, the world seeks to influence, corrupt, and destroy us through false philosophy, through immorality. By faith, as Christians, we do not need to be afraid of what the world can do to us. The world can be very depressing. The world can be very depressing with lots of evil influence and sin. But by faith, we do not need to be afraid of whatever Satan wants to do with our children. Can I say this? Satan is out to destroy our children. No one is spared, including Christians. I say that with a passion because of the number of children who has gone down the tubes. The number of children who has been corrupted by the world. The number of children who have just basically followed the things of this world, not knowing that it was the king's commandment. If Satan has his way, you destroy all your children. Did you believe that? Because he's called the destroyer. Revelation chapter 9. He's Apollyon. He's a destroyer. If Satan has a choice, he'll destroy all of you, your faith. Because he hates God, and therefore he hates anyone who loves God. He goes all out to destroy. But you know what? By faith, we don't have to be afraid of that. Amen? By faith, we don't have to be afraid. As long as husband and wives love one another according to God's will, as long as husband and wife are Christians grounded in God's word, loving God, as long as children love their parents and honor their parents, obey their parents as they should, as long as they're actively walking together with the Lord in His word, obedience and love, actively serving the Lord Jesus, as long as the church is strong and every member can love one another without exception, we don't have to be afraid. Because by faith, we don't have to be afraid of the king's commandments. Does that make sense? Do you see the implication? By faith, we trust God in His word. The faith of Moses' parents led them to do the unthinkable. And this really baffles me because after 3 months, what happens to your child after 3 months? They start to make a lot of noise, right? The children will start to cry. They will want to sleep at night. They want extra milk. Parent, mommy cannot sleep. Daddy, after this, cannot sleep. Because mommy will wake the daddy up. Can you please go and handle it? And what happens if the soldier comes in? They cannot hide the male child for any longer. It led Moses' parents to do the unthinkable. Do you know what they did? Look at Exodus chapter 2, verse 3. The Bible says in Exodus 2 verse 3, I believe it's in your verse, and when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, dubbed it with slime and pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid the flax in the river's spring. Moses' mom and dad said, look, this can't go on. If he cries, the soldiers come in, he's dead. We gotta do something. God, what do we do? You know what just came to the mind? I don't know. The Bible just said they make a little ark, like Noah's ark. It's a small one, a little basket. They dab it with slime, basically make it waterproof. They put Moses into... They didn't know it was Moses yet. There was no name actually before that. Put the little child in there, cover it, and push it into the River Nile. Why was it an act of faith? River Nile was infested with crocodiles. But I said, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm not going to let my son die. I trust you. Remember 2 messages ago, I said Abraham obeyed without needing all the answers. He just obeyed. God, I've got to protect my son. Do all I can. I'm I'm going to push him out in the river now. I don't know where my son is going to go. But God, I know if you have a plan for him, you will protect him. And God did. Amen? By faith, it led Amram and Jochebed as parents, by faith, did the unthinkable to push their son into a sea. The river Nile is infested with crocodiles. I don't know about you, they acted in faith. They sent the water into the Nile. They do not know the plan of God yet, but he knows that God will take care of them. They acted by faith. Parents, let me make the application. When you make plans for your children, is it by faith in the Lord that he has a plan for your children, or is it by what you think or what the world thinks should be best for your child? Fathers, have you searched the scriptures and said, am I going to teach my child in a way that will honor God, or just let the world educate my child? The world has philosophies and culture and trends. Will you follow what the world tells you, plans for you, or you will instead follow the principles of the Word of God in making decisions for your children? Every parent in this room must need to decide for themselves whether what they are doing is what they personally want, or what God, by faith in God, is what God wants for your child. Amram and Jochebed's faith saw Moses as a proper child, and this faith led them to do things by faith which protected Moses. And guess what? God came in. Amen? Do you realize when Pharaoh's daughter saw the floating basket, Pharaoh's daughter rarely go to the river to bathe. They have their own exquisite, exclusive, very nice bathhouses in the Egyptian times. But it was at that time Pharaoh's daughter was by the riverside. Coincidence? No. That's God. That's God. Personally, I've seen it time and again how God worked when you are willing to trust God by faith. Do the right thing. Point number one, that faith sees every child as special. But Hebrews 11 verse 24, moving forwards, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Point number two, faith rejects what the world offers. Faith rejects what the world offers. If you have it in your printed sheets, Acts 7:22, and Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. In Singaporean terms, Moses was a high flyer. He was in the top universities in Egypt. He was the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Don't play a fool. He's the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And he had status. He's like marrying the daughter of the president. All right? He has everything he needed. He not only had the looks, he was a proper child. He also had all the wisdom of this world that Egypt can offer. The top magicians, the wise men, educated Moses. All the riches and all the status Moses has. Now what would you do if you have all the status in this world? You have all the money. And by the way, the Pharaoh was the most powerful ruler on the face of that earth, on earth, that time. And Moses was the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was in the right crowd, if you like. But you know what? When Moses, when he was come to years, in other words, when he began to realize who he is before God, he said, now this is what he might have said in his heart, but he said, this is not my life. This is not my calling. This is not the way God wants me to live. God does not want me to live for this world. God doesn't want me to live for the Egyptians. I'm the servant of the Hebrew God, Yahweh. God does not want me to live for the things of this world. And Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. We was a status position for him. He says, I don't want this. Why? Because it was by faith, what he believed in his heart about who God is and who he is before God. If we are truly believers in Jesus Christ, we will reject the things of this world. Now, I'm not saying you reject your job. There are normal duties of life that we all perform. Like a father, you have to work. You get an engineering job, you get an architect job, you get a teaching job, you support your family. That's your duty before God. Okay? But if the world comes and says, all right, Brother Gideon, you're not only a good designer or something, right? I'm going to promote you with $500,000 a year to be a managing director. I like your drawing, so I'm going to send you all over the region. But it will mean that you would have to travel a lot. It will mean that you will burn your Sundays. It will mean that you may not see your children or your wives. But you know what? It will mean a lifestyle, luxury. I mean, $500,000. Sentosa Cove may be within your reach in 5 years. What do you say to that? You sure? It's easy to say probably in this situation, but what if someone offers you something that takes you from your responsibilities as a Christian? You know it's so tempting, is it not? But Moses, by faith, says, I refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Faith rejects what the world has. Why? Because the belief I have in my God, the love I have for my children given to me by God, the love I have for my wife given by God, is more than the $500,000 a year. Amen? And I hope that we can see by faith. Faith rejects what the world offers. Because faith knows these things are temporary. 1 John 2, verse 15 and 16, the Bible says, what, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. As a Christian, we can be so filled with the love of the world. Just imagine your heart filled with the love of God. But when the love of the world comes in, it starts to remove the love for God. And the love for this world takes over. That's why John says, if any man love the world, it is obvious, you cannot serve two masters. If you love the world, the love of the world will push out the love for God. Faith says, no, I love my God more than the things of this world. Because for two reasons, faith knows these things are temporary. So when the time came by faith, in other words, Moses was fully persuaded by the things of God. In his mind, he was very sure, I can continue as the son of Pharaoh's daughter and will have all this luxury. But by faith, I know, by a full persuasion in my mind, Yahweh is more important to me. I want to reject that. Faith knows that life, if we have the world's good, would we reject it because of our faith in Christ? The world would tempt us with what they have. Would you refuse what the world would give to you? Faith rejects what the world gives because, number one, faith knows that life does not consist of the things in this life. In other words, do you realize as how God sees you is not your economic value? The world sees you as an economic number. Do you know what I mean? In other words, how much, if I employ Brother Rolando, how much can Brother Rolando add to my profit? Can he do a good job? If I employ Sean, or if I employ some of you, are you... There was one time there was this COO of a particular company, and he was trying to encourage the people to see customers as economic numbers. So he said this in his talk. He says, I want you to realize that every customer that comes into our company is like a $25,000 walking in front of you. Every time he come and visit you, you must see this person as a $25,000. Because in a lifetime of interaction, you probably earn about $25,000 from this person. That's a terrible thing, I don't know. Can you imagine this $25,000 walking? Right, and all you see is this $25,000. You don't see the human, you know, you see the $25,000. And unfortunately, the world actually has this mindset that you treat people as economic, just as, and when the economic value of this person is removed, I was talking to some of the Filipino brethren yesterday, and they said that when you reach past 40, it's a bit hard to get a job. Because why employ someone, I have to pay $5,000, when he's 45, when I can employ someone at 25, I can pay only 2,000. Economic value of God doesn't see us like that. And because the world sees us like that, sometimes we have that kind of mindset. Christians, God doesn't. By faith, we need to know our life does not consist of the things in this life. And we need to know that things in this life is only temporary. And faith knows that our life goal is to do the will of God in this life. It's not to get the things of this world. So, if the world interferes with God's will for me, I will say no. Because faith will always stay with God. I will say no. The world's goal is for us to love them, set our hearts for them, plans and desire what the world gives. But Christian, will you deny the pleasures of this life, what the world gives you by faith, and say, oh my, I will reject this because what my God has planned for me and has for me is far greater than what this world has. Faith rejects what this world offers. Point number three, Hebrews 11 verse 25 to 26. You know, as Moses rejected the world, you know what he did? Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God that they enjoyed the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto recompense of the reward. Faith sees what Christ gives us, gives as better than what the world gives. Faith sees what Christ gives as better than what the world gives. Interestingly, Christ was not even mentioned in Moses' time. Yes? But here in Hebrews, as Paul looks at Moses' life, he esteemed the reproach of Christ, even as Moses went through reproach, for walking with Christ, walking with God during that time. Let me just follow through. When Moses gave up his status for Christ, he knew he was going into slavery. Would you agree with that? He knew he had to run away. He was going into slavery. He knew that life would be tough if he followed his faith. It would be easier to stay in the court, right? With Pharaoh and his daughter and every day just fare sumptuously. But when he gave up... But notice that the Bible says what he thought. He chose to suffer affliction. How many of you think that's stupid? You can enjoy life, but you choose to suffer. That's what he says. You won't do that unless it's by faith. Unless you realize that God has a greater plan. Unless you realize if I take this, it's going to stop me from God's greater plan. And Moses, in his mind, would choose deliberately, voluntarily, decisively to suffer with the people of God. And that's what the Bible says. He chose to suffer affliction. The word affliction, by the way, means to endure persecution. And persecution is not just scold you a bit. Persecution literally sometimes a threat of your life and your limb. Okay, meaning that you can actually suffer quite terribly. He would choose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. He did that because in his mind, listen, in his mind, the insults, the taunts, the jeering for the sake of Christ was greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt. Do you see what is happening in Moses' mind? By faith, having the faith of Christ in his heart, he's thinking, I don't care if people insult me. I don't care if people jeer me. I don't even care if people kill me for Christ. Because what Christ gives me is far greater than all that Pharaoh can give me. In the application of the same thing, what God can give me as I serve Him is far greater than everything this world can give me. Did you know that? That's what Moses was thinking in his mind. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the treasures in Egypt. Christians, sometimes we esteem the treasures of Egypt greater riches than what Jesus gives us. Did you know that? For those who were a bit late, we dealt with the judgment seat of Christ in Sunday school. Do you realize one word of well done, thou good and faithful servant, is enough to overcome everything that we have gone through? Did you know that? You know what Paul says? Paul says, look, I'm just living for God's applause. I don't care what men say. Paul says, I don't care what the world gives me. We thank God for many missionaries on the field. We see our dear brother So and Mrs. So in the mission field, away from their loved ones. And they are 60 years old, serving God in a place in a communist country, away from everything else. Because the world can give them a lot of respect, the world can give them a lot of comfort, the world can give them a lot of things, but they'd rather be there because that's where God wants them to be. Christians, do we esteem the treasures of this world greater riches than what Jesus can give to us. When we decide to walk by faith, to follow Christ, there will be affliction. There will be reproach. There will be people who will laugh at you. There will be... Even Job, remember Job in the Bible? When he didn't complain, when he lost everything, guess who was the one who told him, curse God and die? His wife. Jesus said in Matthew 10 that when you choose to follow Christ, even your own spouse or people of your own household can oppose you. But Christians, can I challenge you in your heart? Follow God. Because that was what Moses did. If we are genuinely Christians, we put that in our heart and say, God, your will for me is greater than the reproach that I will experience. When we decide by faith to follow Christ, there will be affliction. In Philippians 1:29, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. That means, when you serve God, you might get tired. But you say, I'll still do it because I love Jesus. I may lose out on my promotion, but I'll still serve God. You know, the encouragement I have from some, you know, I'll be honest, when as pastor, I saw one thing that happened early on in Ambassador Baptist Church, is that some of our brethren would actually take no pay leave to serve God. For me, that's such a blessing. You know who you are. God bless you for your sacrifice. But you know, may God give us a heart to say, God, I don't care for the few $100 if I can bless. Let's say your no-pay leave is $500. But you lead a soul to Christ. That soul is worth more than $500, amen? Or you sow the seed of life into maybe 6 children. Or the youth, or maybe. And that youth goes on and serve Christ. That life has been won back by God. But, you know, when God asks us to do a task for Him, to serve Him, when God instructs us to serve Him, to draw close to Him, or deny our flesh to follow Him, when the Lord asks us to go out of our way to serve Him, what is our response? Will we say, huh, that's too much? Or will we say, but faith will say, if the Lord wants me to do it, I will. I will do what the Lord wants me to do to serve for the benefit of His people and the glory of God. I will go where He wants me to go, and even if it brings me opposition, difficulties, I will, by faith, my persuasion in the goodness of God and His will, I will still do it. Because to suffer for the sake of Christ and be in need is better than having it easy and be blessed by the world. There was one man, he said this. He says, people tell me I'm sacrificing my life and giving up all that I'm living for and go to Africa. Can that be called a sacrifice when it's simply acknowledging a great debt we owe to our God, which we can never repay? Is that a sacrifice which brings its own reward in healthy activity? The consciousness of doing good, peace of mind, and the bright hope of glorious destiny. It is no sacrifice. Rather, it is a privilege. Anxiety, sickness, suffering, danger, foregoing the common conveniences of life. This may make us stop and cause us to waver in our hearts and the soul to sink. But let this be only for a moment. All these are nothing compared with the glory which shall later be revealed in and through us. I never made a sacrifice. Of this we ought not to talk when we remember the great sacrifice when He made, who left His Father's glory to save us. This was spoken by David Livingstone, who gave up the comforts of his country and went into the darkest part of Africa. And many people realized that this man loved us. And apparently when he died, he said, I want my heart to be buried in Africa. Which was what they did. But David Livingstone, a great missionary, said, what sacrifice? I'm not sacrificing. Do you realize what happened to him? There was one time, I think he was so sick, and the giant ants would crawl all over him. But to him, that's not sacrifice. Because he remembered by faith what God sacrificed for him. Faith sees what Christ gives as better than what the world gives. Point number four, let's move on. Hebrews 11, verse 27. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Point number four, faith walks this life confidently. What do I mean? This verse, by faith he forsook Egypt. There were two times he walked out from Egypt. You remember the two times? The first time was when he killed someone and he ran away for fear. Okay? The second time was he was leading 2 million people out of Egypt. This verse refers to the second time. The king was angry with him, remember? Take everything and just go, just get out, you know? Because through Moses, God destroyed. Do you realize when God was finished with Egypt, the military, the economic might of Egypt was destroyed. Agriculturally, they were bankrupt. God destroyed Egypt in the 10 plagues. Did you know that? And Pharaoh was furious. The Bible says by faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Why? He persevered through the journey from Egypt to the promised land. The Bible says, for he endured. What endurance means? I need to press on, regardless of the obstacles, from Egypt all the way to the promised land. How did Moses endure? He saw him that was invisible. All about him, I had tears in my eyes when I read that verse. Christians, can you see God? I'm not talking about an appearance. You know. By the way, if you can see God appearing before you, that's not faith. You know why? You can see. He's visually present. Does it make sense? But faith, don't have to see. The Bible says he saw. That's a contradiction of terms. Faith can see a God who is invisible. Moses saw God all through his journey in the wilderness. The verse has to do with the leading of Moses to the children, people of Israel, out of Egypt. When he came in by faith in God's plan, Moses commanded the Pharaoh to release God's people. And through God's miraculous intervention, he released them. Of obvious, Pharaoh was angry. Moses didn't care. When Moses brought the people of Israel out of Egypt, he underwent many difficulties. The people complained there was no food, there was no water, there were enemies. Remember the Amalekites? There were many problems along the way. But Moses was able to endure by faith. Christians in this life, why is it that Christians fall in their walk of faith with God as we go to the promised land in our journey to glory? You've come. Why do Christians fall? Because we fail to see him who is invisible. Does that make sense? It is unbelief that we fall. Because Paul says it's by faith, Moses was able to endure. And by the way, did you know Moses did not go into the promised land? Why? Because of sin. Remember? God told him to speak to the rock. He struck the rock. Moses lived by faith all through because of one problem. God, don't let him go in. Wow, that's not fair, man. You know what's the lesson for us as leaders? God said, because Moses, you're a leader of my people, I will not tolerate rebellion and disobedience from whom I've appointed. And because of that act, Moses, you're not going in. But God says, because of your faithfulness, I'm going to let you see. And that's why Moses went to Mount Pisgah over Jordan. He saw the promised land, but he did not go in. But you know what? Moses endured all the way to the end. Then in Deuteronomy, he was able to tell the children of Israel, this is the second time I'm going to tell you all that God has told me. Deuteronomy means the second law, the second giving of the law. And there was a time that Moses was going to die. Moses endured. He endured the complaint from the people. Moses, where's the food?
Not just food. Moses, we've got no chicken or no meat. We've got nothing. You know what God says? God sent quails. You know, all the quails. You know how much meat they had? They ate until it came out from their nostrils. That's what the Bible says. You want meat? I'll give you meat. Okay, that's enough. Can you imagine rotting meat all over the place? God provided. For 40 years, Moses endured complaints after complaint after complaint after complaint, even from Miriam and his own brother. Remember? Aaron and Miriam complained against him. Of course, God dealt with them. Korah and the brethren rebelled against, God dealt with them too. How was Moses able to endure? Because he saw him that was invisible. Are you having problems with life? Are you having problems in your Christian life? Perhaps based on this verse, may I suggest that perhaps you may have lost sight of him that's invisible. Because Moses endured because he saw God who was invisible. You need spiritual glasses to see a God who is invisible. That when something happens, something maybe tragic or something, maybe a problem comes on into your life, the first thought is, God, what are you doing? Lord, help me to see your plan. Lord, help me to seek your face. God, I may not understand why this is happening, but I know you have a plan. And you are able to endure. And sometimes endurance doesn't mean you have the answers. Because patience means what? Enduring under situations you have no control over. But still, God says, you're able to continue. Why? Because of your faith in Christ. Christians, have you fallen by the wayside? Can I encourage you to put your spiritual glasses on again and look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith? By faith, Moses was able to endure. He is able to, faith is able to walk this life confidently, not because of our confidence, but because of our confidence in God. Point number 5, Hebrews 11, verse 28. Now let me just finish off point 4. Dear believer in Christ, the only way you are going to go through this life victorious is to fix your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trials will come. Temptations will seek to force you away from Christ. But with your eyes fixed on Christ, you will be able to endure. Wanted to give you the example. Remember Peter walking on the water? When Peter walked on the water towards Jesus Christ, he was okay. The Bible says the moment he saw the winds boisterous around him, he started to sink. And thank God, you know, every time, if it's, can I encourage you? The moment you sink in your unbelief, Jesus' hand stretches out. Remember when as Peter, the Lord save me! The Lord Jesus, the Bible says, stretched out and pulled Peter out. But you know what? As much as Jesus saved us, he's not going to let you go with your unbelief. He's going to ask you, why do you doubt, O ye of little faith? He wants us to put faith in him, amen? All God wants us to learn is a total dependence on him. That was what Moses did, which helped him to endure 80 years. The first 40 was God trained him in the Mount Sinai. The next 40 years was when he led the children of Israel. 80 years he trusted God. Because the first 40 years, he was in the world. But the remaining of his time, he gave himself in faith to God. Point number 5, Hebrews 11 verse 28 as we move. Hebrews 11 verse 28, the true faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest God that destroyed, the firstborn should touch them. Make no mistake, if you study the book of Exodus, you realize, you know, sometimes, how many of you watch the Ten Commandments? Charlton Heston is the botak guy. You know? No, Charlton Heston, it's Moses. Yul Brynner is the, yeah. And you have this green cloud coming down, you know, green cloud coming out from the sky, and this green cloud will go through all the places in Egypt and started to kill all the people. Make no mistake, the Bible says God himself came down and executed judgment on anyone who will not follow his instruction. What was his instruction? Let's turn to Exodus chapter 12, verse 3. I'm going to read quite a passage, but I hope you will be able to see. Hebrews 11, 28. Exodus 12, verse 3. The second book of the Bible. Let me just read and just follow along. It's quite a
quite a lot of information, but I'm just going to use all this to highlight one small point, okay, which is important for us to understand. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, Exodus 12 verse 3, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. That's a specific instruction from God. A male of the first year, ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. Ye shall keep it unto the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat. And so what God says in the first part, I want you to take a lamb, and after 14 days, kill it, put the blood here. I want you to strike the blood here. And we all know, in hindsight, that represents the Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross. The crown of thorns, and of course the two hands that he was crucified in. And that represents the Passover lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, looking ahead. But God gave the specific instruction to Moses, I want you to tell the entire congregation of Israel to do that. You know why? Because if they do not do that, if they do not take a lamb of the first year, if they do not kill it, if they do not put their blood here, when I come through the land of Egypt to kill the firstborn, I will go in and execute your firstborn as well. But if you would obey me, you will be delivered. Faith obeys every detail that God gives. Faith obeys every detail that God gives. And you will realize that even in the wilderness, when they built the tabernacle, God gave... There was one time I was preaching at a church camp many years ago, NBC, and we're talking about excellence in the ministry. One of the things you realize, God gave a 6,000-word essay. 6,000 words. How do I know about 6,000 words? Basically, you just... From the time that God gave the instruction to build the tabernacle to the time He ended, you put in a word... Microsoft Word, and you have word count. So this is about 6,000 words God gave to the children of Israel. This is how I want you to build my tabernacle in the wilderness. And you know, to the credit of Moses and his people at that time, they followed everything to the letter. That's why God, at the end of the construction of the tabernacle in the wilderness, came down and honored that place. Faith obeys every detail given by God. Because through faith, the Bible says, Hebrews 11:28, Moses kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. The salvation of the children of Israel depended on the children of Israel obeying what God gave to Moses. Would you agree with that? If they did not listen, they were dead that night. But because they obeyed, the children of Israel the next day were able to live in freedom because of what Jesus did. Faith follows every detail of God's word, because it is the means by which we live. Matthew 4 verse 4 says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Christians, we have the Bible today. Living by the Bible is living by faith. I say again. Living by the Bible is living by faith. Men may have their prejudices and philosophies, but living by the Bible is living by faith. If we will follow God in His Word, we will be free from self-generated problems in this life. God has principles for finances, for families, for friends, for our future. When we live by the Bible, we will not be destroyed. Therefore, faith obeys every detail given by God. But if we do not, remember Jesus, I mentioned that in Sunday school? Jesus said in Matthew 7, if we hear the word of God and obey it, we are like a wise man that built a house on a rock.
The rains will come and the floods will come, but the household still, the house is your life. When you plant your life on God's word, look, all of us face trials of life, but the Bible says if you plant your life on the word of God, it will stand firmly. Finally, point number 6, Hebrews 11 verse 29. Faith. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. That simply means the children of Israel, through faith, walked through the Red Sea as on dry land, which the Egyptians also, basically the word the same is, also tried to do, they were drowned. The children of Israel, by faith, there was, in Hebrews 11 verse 29, point number 6, faith sees God's mighty hand of deliverance when all people around you fall. In other words, when everyone around you complain, when everyone around you are kind of losing faith, being discouraged, faith can still see the mighty hand of God's deliverance. Can I say, I learned this from Corrie ten Boom. God doesn't have problems. He only has plans. You know, every problem in your life, God has a plan. Christian, do you believe that? Do you believe that? In every issue in your life, how God loves us so much. Just as a dad and a mom who cares for a child, when a child is sick, when a child is facing problems in school, when a child has something in the future that, you know what, mom and dad starts thinking here already, yes? You start planning, and because you love your child. Don't you think God has the same? And will you by faith trust Him? Moses and the people were trapped in the wilderness, Red Sea in front, mountains on both sides, the coming Egyptian army behind. The people complaining to Moses, "You brought us here to die." What did Moses say? Exodus chapter 4 verse 13. Let me just read. Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not." The opposite of faith is fear. The opposite of fear is faith. When all the people around him was fearing, Moses said, "Fear ye not. Stand still." Now it was, be calm in your heart. Stand still. Just stop. And see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. You know what? Moses went as far in his faith to say, the Egyptians that you see today will be no more. That's faith. You know why Moses, as he stood at the Red Sea, knew, God's going to get me out. God's going to get me out. I don't care what you say. You can scold me, you can shout at me, you can be so fearful. God's going to get me out. And today, the thing that you fear the most is going to be no more. You know what? Later on, God told him, he said, "Why are you standing here? Stand to the edge, put your stick into the Red Sea." What did God do? One of the most mighty miracles in the Bible, He opened the Red Sea, 24 kilometers wide, more than 1.5 kilometers wide, about 24 kilometers long, and 1.5 kilometers wide, and close to 1 kilometer deep. And God opened the Red Sea to save His people. Will God do that for you? By God's authority, He will. With God, nothing is impossible. Do you believe that, Christian? By faith, Moses and the people walked through the Red Sea on dry land. But the opposite camp, the Pharaoh's army, could not do it. Because they had no faith. Is it possible sometimes in life, we stumble and fall because we fail to walk by faith? Faith, remember, means a persuasion in your mind that our God is able. But sometimes we are not able. But thank God He is able. Faith trusts God. I like Exodus 4:14. The Lord shall fight for you, and He shall hold your peace. Basically, you're not going to complain anymore. But unfortunately, they did, you know, in the wilderness. Faith trusts God to do the impossible, to preserve, to protect, to provide. But even when God allows us to go through the trials, and He allows us to be defeated, God still has a plan. The soldiers wanted to do the same, they could not. As we close, I know I've gone a bit longer, but Christians, God's desire in this word is to show, you know what perhaps God may be saying, "Look, my child, I know you're going through a tough time. I know the things you go through don't seem to have any answers. I'm not God, I'm just thinking in sanctified imagination that perhaps God is saying, I want you to learn to trust me. I'm just a human being, as pastor as you are, and I need to learn to trust God also. But when you see the scriptures, my faith is just in what God said. If God opened the Red Sea to save his people, what Red Sea can he not open for you? Amen. God opened the Red Sea in the sight of 2 million Israelites. And including, do you know the Pharaoh and the armies knew that? Because they had a problem. When the Israelites were moving through, they couldn't get through. Why? God, with a pillar of fire, is blocking them. That's our God. He leads us to safety. He protects us from our enemies. And if you're in the center of his will, you're okay. But if you choose, I'm going to do it my way, God says, go ahead. You're not going to fight Pharaoh's army. You have no strength. How many times we fail? Simply because we fail to put our lives in the tender, loving hands of a Heavenly Father who say, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. You know, I've said it many times, but I want to say it again. The word leave you means God is not going to just walk out of you. You know, today, many families and all that, you know, people can just walk out. God says, I'm not going to do that. But you know, the second one is more meaningful. I'm not going to forsake you. When you are in your trials, I am not going to walk out of your life. That is forsaking. In my life, in your life, I'm sure some of you who have learned to walk with God, there were times when you say, God, where are you? God says, I'm just here. And God says, according to my promise, I'm not going to forsake you. And God always keeps his promises. Throughout the scriptures, you see no one who have trusted God. Yes, even Job may have it had bad. You know, Job, he lost everything. But in the end, as he trusted God, God gave him back everything. That's our God. Can I say this? Our Heavenly Father loves us so much that the things He brings in our life is just to do one thing, to teach us, my son, my daughter, walk with me by faith in this life so that when I see you, we will have a good relationship. Otherwise, God is going to say, why didn't you trust me in the first place? As we close, faith sees every child as special. Parents, do you see your child as special? That he's not just going to do his secondary school and JC and go to university and have a good future in this world. Faith says, God, what do you use your plan for this son? And I'm going to follow that plan. Faith rejects what the world offers. What's the world offering you now? Prestige, money, at the expense of your service for God or your love for God. Faith sees what Christ gives as better than what the world gives. Do you see that maybe the world is more attractive? I've had Christians who say, my worldly friends are better than my Christian friends. God forbid that will happen. We need to understand that what Christ gives us is better than what the world gives. Faith walks this life confidently because he is able to see God who is invisible. Faith obeys every detail God gives. And faith can seize God's mighty hand of deliverance when the people around us fall. Let's close. Lord, thank you for this time. I pray that the life of Moses has been a challenge. It has been a challenge to myself. I'm sure it is a challenge to the people here. Lord, it's amazing what you can do when Moses trusted you. Lord, as we also, for those who would read in your word, when you called Moses the first time, Lord, he complained. He couldn't do it. He says, God, I can't. I can't speak. But yet, Lord, you took whatever faith Moses had and made him a mighty deliverer. He was just a human being, Lord, because we saw that later on he fell because of his pride as well. But God, we thank you for these 6 simple lessons of faith, Lord. That was the true life of Moses. You did tremendous things. And I pray for everyone listening to this message that, God, I'm not the one that's going to impart the faith. It's you and your word. Eyes closed, heads bowed. I just want to ask, is God speaking to our hearts about faith? Trusting God. You see the life of Moses, is there something, some parts you can identify with and say, Lord, help us, help me to see that. Yeah, there's this thing coming on, but I'm stumbling and falling in my Christian life, but help me to see you as invisible as Moses saw. Or perhaps as parents, you're beginning to say, yes, God, what is your plan for my son? Remember, George and Amran don't know God's plan, but they did what was right at the time with the knowledge they had. And God blessed them. Amran and Jochebed probably did not see the son grow up to be the mighty deliverer because they probably died before that, but yet they left behind a deliverer for Israel simply because of their faith in God. He says, someone said, Pastor, pray for me that this faith that I've heard today in the Word of God, that God will replicate this faith in my life. He says, someone who said, Pastor, pray for me. Amen, I see that hand. I see that hand. He says, amen, I see that hand. Put it down and pray. Put it down and pray. Say, God, help me to trust you as Moses did. I don't know what to do, but I know your word can teach me and help me to be diligent in searching. For faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Is there someone else? Pastor, pray for me. Amen, I see that hand too. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm a human like you. Let's pray together in humility to our God. And God, sometimes we fall in our faith because we don't see you, but yet you are so loving and so kind. Heavenly Father, thank you for the many brethren who have put up their hands. Lord, as you led the children of Israel, the pillar of fire by night, the pillar of cloud by day. And Father, some of them didn't even trust you. And yet, Lord, you still provided their guidance. Lord, I pray for these brethren who have put up their hands by faith. Say, God, I don't know. In my life, I can stumble, but yet, Lord, you will not stumble. I pray for these brethren that they will put their faith 100% in whatever situations they are facing. God, I don't know. I don't have the wisdom, but you do. I pray that as they read the Bible, as they pray, as they fellowship, that God, through brethren, through the Word of God, through the songs they will hear, and through the lessons they will learn, Lord, through your Word, that, Lord, you will build their faith. Father, we know that without you, we can do nothing. And so, I pray for these brethren to put up their hands. Specifically, you will increase their faith as they search your Word, as they apply themselves to believe you and trust you more than what they see. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. Lord, I pray for one who do not know Christ. I pray that they will open their hearts too to this faith. We thank you as we sing the closing hymn, Lord, stepping in the light. Help us to constantly, Lord, take small steps to walk after our Savior, to trust Him. And I pray, Lord, everyone will grow in their faith as they leave this place. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.